Fellow brothers and sisters by faith in Jesus Christ. What great love Jesus demonstrated for the people while he walked on the face of this earth. Just imagine looking into the eyes of Jesus and seeing the sympathy, the empathy, the desire to help. Yes, help physically. He healed many people. But most importantly, he sought to bring people close to him, to connect them to him so that they would have not just a healed physical life, but that their soul would be healed with the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save the lost." You know, sometimes when we hear that word lost, we think of those people who are maybe live far away, or they're maybe people we don't even know, we're not connected with them. But interestingly, when we watch the ministry of Jesus, we find that the lost sometimes were people who were real close to him. In fact, some of his closest companions. Think of Peter. After Peter shamefully denied his Savior on that Good Friday, later Jesus came to him and restored him, not just, and that was important as an apostle, but restored him with the peace that Jesus had forgiven him. Jesus died for that sin as well as all sin. Now, it's that kind of ministry that Jesus has given to his believers on earth, to his church on earth. And he wants us to not be casual about that ministry. He wants us to carry it out because the eternal life of people depends on it. That particularly, he's addressing the fact that we're going to come across times in our life as his followers that we become aware of people who have fallen into sin and are impenitently living in that sin. And so Jesus gives us the command to go to them, to speak with them. And this is a command of Jesus is like every other command of Jesus. When he told his disciples, "Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you," that includes this one. This one of conducting our ministry to fellow Christians who are caught in sin. It's a personal ministry. It's a ministry that he calls upon every Christian to conduct in their lives. It's a ministry that addresses the spiritual condition of a Christian, someone we know who has been caught in sin and walking away from their Savior. Now, understand that Jesus here is not talking about coming to a person to seek to reform some personality things that just bug us, or some character quirks that just get under our skin. Everybody has those. Everybody has those kinds of things. But we're not talking about that kind of activity or that kind of character. Jesus is digging much deeper than that. He's talking about people who have defied the word of God. In fact, when he uses the word sin here, he uses the word that means missing the mark. People who have missed the mark of what God says in his word, missed what it says, and are living contrary to it, and defying the word of God. And it's to those people that he seeks to lead us to conduct a very important ministry. Why? Because sin is serious. All you have to do to understand the seriousness of sin is to look at the cross. There you see how serious God is about sin. He gave his one and only son to die for those who opposed him, who walked away from him, who by nature are his enemies. He gave his son and laid on him the punishment that all of us, that the whole world deserves, the guilt of sin and the curse of death and eternal condemnation in hell. Jesus suffered all of that. You see how serious God is about sin? And he calls on you and me to also understand and be humbled by what our Savior did to take away all that our sin deserved, and understand how serious it is when somebody falls into sin. When you and I view the cross, God leads us to have a godly sorrow for understanding that it is because of our sin that Jesus was nailed to that cross. It's because of the guilt that we bear for the things that we do in opposition to God's will, the way we offend him, that Jesus breathed his last on the cross and gave up his life. It leads us to repentance. It leads us to have a sorrow for our sin and a need for knowing that God has forgiven us. Think of the tax collector in Jesus' account of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple. It was the tax collector who wouldn't even look up to heaven. He was so sorry for what he had done and how he had offended God that he simply said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." We know what Jesus said. That man went home justified. That man went home understanding that God had mercy on him, that God forgave his sin, that God declared him righteous on the basis of his grace for him. On the other hand, there is impenitence. Impenitence is not understanding the total seriousness of sin. Maybe even saying the things that I'm doing aren't sin at all, even though they violate the word of God. When a person lives in that kind of frame of mind and attitude of heart, what they are really saying is that I don't need a savior. You see, what I'm doing really isn't that bad, or it isn't sin at all, so why would I need somebody to die for me? It's like that Pharisee in the temple. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, and then listed all the good things that he was doing. He didn't need Jesus as his savior. And Jesus said he didn't go home justified because his life was one of impenitence. So Jesus is very concerned about people who are caught in sin and are impenitent, because if they continue to do so, they will be lost eternally. So Jesus commands us to conduct our ministry to those who are caught in sin. Now, that's not an easy thing to do, is it? This is one of these hard commands of Jesus that we may struggle with at times. In fact, we might say, well, who am I to go and talk to somebody else about sin? I'm a sinner myself. I feel like a hypocrite. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." You may remember the kind of life that the Apostle Paul, before he became an apostle, lived. He was so zealous for the way of becoming right with God by keeping the law, that he opposed aggressively anybody who believed that it was only by Jesus. In fact, he hunted down Christians. He went far and wide to arrest them and then consented to their imprisonment, even their killing. But when God called him to be an apostle, those memories weren't obliterated out of his mind. He remembered how unworthy he was to continue to be now an apostle of Jesus Christ and a proclaimer of the free and faithful grace of God. That remembrance helped Paul to stay humble as he continued his ministry, and to do it with zeal because he really treasured the peace of God in his life. And so our sin doesn't disqualify us from this ministry. Remembering who we are and how God has forgiven us humbles us so that we come with a Christ-like love toward other people and a desire for them to know the love of Christ so that they can have the gift of eternal life. That's what drives us for the ministry, for one who has been caught in sin. Jesus lays out a method. He said, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Go, he says. Don't wait for that one to come to you. Go to that individual. And the going there isn't just a one and done thing. Perhaps this is going to take a number of times. Maybe it's going to take a number of occasions where God is giving that we will speak to that person. But importantly, just between the two of you is an important line. Instead of reaching on our phones and start putting on social media, do you know what so-and-so is doing? And let everybody else know? Jesus said, don't spread sin around. There's enough sin that is spread around in the world. And sin tends to spawn sin. So keep it private. Keep it private, and that will be a better context for you to talk to that individual in a sincere, loving way. Because if he listens to you, and Jesus' way of expressing that, expect that. Expect that the person will listen and take heed of what you are saying and repent of their sin. But if he will not listen, Jesus goes on, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Don't give up. Take one or two individuals who you have confidence in, understand how God wants us to conduct this ministry, who are firm in their faith, who act in love and a desire to reach that person who has fallen into sin. And maybe the testimony of a couple of more people will bear on that person's mind and heart and lead that person to think about what they are doing is wrong. And even if it doesn't, if it goes to the next step, at least those individuals would serve as witnesses, because if he refuses to listen to them, Jesus said, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. If it comes to this point that it's necessary to talk to the assembly of believers about this, it is to be done again in the spirit of Christian, Christ-like love. It's never for the purpose, we're going to get rid of that guy, we're going to take him off the membership rolls, and this is the final step. You didn't listen, so there. That's not the kind of manner in which our Lord is teaching us to conduct this ministry. By the way, if it comes to the point that a person refuses to forgive. It's not Jesus is speaking just a matter of taking him off of so-and-so Lutheran church's membership rolls. What you are telling the individual is that because you are impenitent, you are no longer a Christian. You are an unbeliever. It's the most powerful preaching of the law. It warns an individual that if they continue in that way, they will end up in hell. Those are never easy procedures to accomplish, but so necessary, because in a person's eternal life is at stake. By the way, even if it goes to that point, and many times it's rare in ministry today that it goes to that point of assembly before the church, but when it goes to that point, the individual is not to be shunned. In fact, more and more, love will seek to reach out whatever occasion we have to draw the person back. In fact, there's a case in the books of Corinthians where there is a man that was involved in sexual sin and he was living impenitently, and Paul told him, put him out, excommunicate him. And some of the letter of the second Corinthians, the message was, he's repented, welcome him back. Invite him to come to the peace and joy of the forgiveness of sin once again as he hears it in the assembly of the believers. So the whole purpose of this ministry is to reach out to an individual in love and to help them see that it's dangerous, the course that they are on, but God in his love forgives. Repent. Now, because that ministry is so serious, it's important what Jesus says next. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The Lord will not have anyone regard lightly the actions of his church. He therefore solemnly affirms that when the church acts this way, when the group of believers acts this way, that if they bind the sin, tell a person because of an impenitent life, they are living in sin and in danger of eternal condemnation, that God himself holds sin against that individual in heaven. But the joy is that when forgiveness is announced on the basis of a person's penitence, that God the Father in heaven affirms that forgiveness and forgives that individual too. That's how important and authoritative this ministry is. But it's always done in the love of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Prayer involved with this. The elders of the church or the leaders of the church, people who know the situation, are going to constantly implore the Lord in prayer, because the Lord promises, I am with you and I will guide you. We pray that the Lord will give us the right words and the opportune time to say those words. We pray that as we seek this individual, he will heed the warning of God's word and embrace the peace of the gospel. We pray that the Holy Spirit will accomplish this work through the power of the gospel. So we conduct this ministry always in Christ-like love and humility, that a person's soul may be together with us in the glory, soul and body, together with us in the glory of heaven. Any one of us can guess what kind of regular life we're going to lead in heaven other than what the Bible gives to us. But wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful that maybe one time in heaven that someone comes up to us and says, thank you. Thank you for caring enough about me that when you saw me go away from the Lord and living in a way that displeases him, thank you for calling me back. Thank you for reminding me of what God teaches in his word. And thank you for the precious piece of the gospel that you reminded, that worked in me the joy of knowing that Jesus again is my Savior. And it is to that Savior that we will together rejoice for eternity in the glory of heaven. Jesus, the one who has forgiven us, Jesus, the church's head, to him be the glory forever. Amen.